Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Cam Rogers now joins us. Always a pleasure to have Cam on the show with us. How you been, man?
What's going on, Steve? Great to be with you. Happy U.S. Open week. I'm some 45 minutes away from historic The Country Club. I'm here in Plymouth, Massachusetts for the next month, enjoying the sunshine.
Right near the Mayflower, man.
There you go.
Know the area well. I'm going to be up there myself in about a month. So, Cam, it's all been about LIV and about the PGA Tour. There's been very little talk about the U.S. Open. So what is your opinion? LIV has one event in the books with eight more to go this year. We know what the money is. What's your opinion of it?
I think it's all so fascinating and also surreal because this has never happened in my lifetime of covering the game of golf, talking about a rival tour that is starting to cherry pick PGA Tour players over to this league. And what I find truly fascinating is we have this dichotomy now where you have one side of golfers who are choosing legacy and morals, and then you have the other side who are choosing basically their pocketbooks. And I am in no position to really criticize either direction. I understand both perspectives, if you will. On the one hand, you have Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy and John Rahm who prefer the best of the best. They prefer the heat of competition. They prefer the legacy that they will leave behind. And oh, by the way, they're playing great golf right now. And then the other folks, such as Phil Mickelson, who has some $40 million in gambling debt, reportedly, and Louis Oosthuizen and Patrick Reed, who are not exactly playing great on the PGA Tour right now, are preferring financial stability the rest of their lives and guaranteed money while also potentially being able to play in the major championship. So it's really this interesting divide that you're seeing on the PGA Tour right now, and we are going to see a lot more of interesting news stories coming through as this LIV Golf Tournament Invitational Series continues to move on here through the summer and into the fall.
I think we might see a couple more, quote, defections before they get to Portland and Pumpkin Ridge.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah. And if we see more information about the major championships allowing LIV golf players to play, then you might see more defections, right? Because I think an important distinction for your listeners is that the PGA Tour does not run any of the four major championships. That's the USGA right. runs the U.S. Open. The RNA runs the British Open. Augusta National Golf Club runs the Masters. And then you have the PGA, not the PGA Tour, running the PGA Championship. So put that all together, and you could be, you know, having these LIV golfers playing in the major championships while being suspended by the PGA Tour. It's a fascinating situation.
Yeah, the one event they can't play in is the Ryder Cup.
Correct.
Or President's Cup as well. People don't get as involved in the President's Cup as they do the Ryder Cup. But they can't play in that, at least as of right now. All right. What I also find interesting is the only guy on LIV that had a press conference. And look, he stood there for 25 minutes. As flat as it was and as halting as it was, Mickelson at least stood there for 25 minutes and took questions. None of the other guys have.
Right. And good for him for facing the music. I think that was the right thing to do to get that done on a Monday and then just move on to preparations for going for the career Grand Slam, might I add.
Yes.
And, you know, like you said, it was 30 minutes of nothingness. Like, I thought he was sort of awkward, unprepared, even ashamed at times during this press conference. It was a different type of Phil Mickelson. And I don't know, you would think that maybe he huddled up with his PR team throughout the 4 months of not playing any golf whatsoever to sort of figure out how he was going to answer these questions, but he seemed unprepared to answer them. So I thought that was sort of a disaster for him, and I wonder if that's going to leak into his game this week at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he didn't putt well last week at the LIV event. For anybody who watched it on Yahoo, he didn't putt well. Although Bob Herrig did say that, you know, he went out and covered it. He said, "What did you think of it?" He says, "Actually, it was." He said, "It was actually pretty good. It wasn't that bad the way it was staged." So, I don't know. Do you think that at some point I mean, Jay Monahan, when he was on with Jim Nance, I thought Jim Nance did a very good job with him, by the way. He asked all the right questions. But I also thought Jay Monahan didn't exactly come off as a bundle of confidence either in that interview. Do you think there's going to have to be some sort of compromise here along the way to let players go back and forth? Because, for example, European players bag the European tour to come over and play here.
Right. Yeah, listen, I think the biggest positive takeaway from all of this can be that Jay Monahan is going to have to go on the offensive to improve the PGA Tour. Clearly, Phil Mickelson was mad about what was going on the PGA Tour. Now, what Phil Mickelson wants fixed is probably not is what is best for the game and bringing in more fans. He probably wants more money.
Right.
But to get more money, you need more fans so that you get more ad revenue. And, you know, there's this sort of chain reaction from there where you get bigger TV packages and what have you. So, you know, to that point, I think Jay Monahan has to look at himself in the mirror and say to himself, okay, what can we do now to improve the PGA Tour so this LIV Golf Tour becomes less of a threat, right? So, you know, just sitting back and finger-wagging players who go over there is not the right solution. We have to think about ways to improve the PGA Tour now, whether it's miking up players or doing more Manning casts, simulcast, if you will, throughout these PGA Tour events, or a bet cast where it's all about sports betting. And maybe you can allow for people to zoom in during these broadcasts, famous celebrities, golfers, what have you. You know, just thinking of new avenues to improve the PGA Tour and not just sitting back and criticizing those who defect, because that's not going to improve the game. You got to figure out a way to improve the PGA Tour to bring in new fans. Maybe you get younger on your broadcast, what have you. So, you know, hopefully Jay Monahan goes on the offensive soon.
All right, so now let's at least get to the tournament itself. The interesting backdrop of all this is that Francis Ouimet won here in 1913, 109 years ago, an amateur. And all we're talking now, 109 years later, on the course he won at, is about money. So
yeah.
That's the backdrop of all this. Gil Hance redid a lot of this in 2009, and he is the course whisperer right now. One thing he did do, it had about 3,200 square feet of green at one point. He's got it up to 4,400. That's a little bit more than Pebble Beach. What does that mean to this week, at least for these players, especially with the rough they have to play out of?
Yeah, it's all a relative game because, honestly, these are the second smallest greens in major championship history outside of one Pebble Beach, right? So, you know, you better bring your ball striking, and if you don't, I think it's going to be an absolute scramble fest here at the Country Club. Not a big ballpark, by the way, 7,200 yards roughly, par 70. So this isn't like Torrey like last year or Wingfoot where Bryson basically bombed and gouged his way to victory. This is going to be a game of artistry, of creativity. And really, I think this is going to be a situation where everybody's going to miss greens, so everybody's going to be in the same bucket. Who are the best around the green players in this field who can scramble their way around? Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau playing really, really well with his around the green game, Rory McIlroy coming off the win. So I think you're going to see really a mixture of different golfers at the top of the leaderboard come Sunday evening.
All right, you mentioned several names right there. One name you didn't mention was Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters and has had a really good year. Not so great of late. What do you think of his chances here?
Yeah, he's actually outside my top 10 in terms of the power rankings here this week. And really, it's not necessarily an indictment on Scottie. I just think there's so much variability on the leaderboard in any major championship. So I think it's time for somebody else to sort of break through here. And my pick to win is Xander Schauffele, and we could talk about him later. But as far as Scottie Scheffler is concerned, I don't think he is going to finish inside the top 10, maybe finish T17, something like that. I don't think this is the greatest course for him. So I just think it's sheer variability at play here this week. And the talent pool of the PGA Tour is so deep now that, listen, it's totally understandable for Scottie Scheffler to finish top 20 and kind of move on to the next event.
No, top 20 at the U.S. Open's pretty good last I checked.
Right.
All right, so let's get to the Olympic gold medalist, Xander Schauffele. What is it about his game that you think fits this place?
he's gotten a complete game, and he's simply built for U.S. Opens, too. Five top tens in five U.S. Open appearances. Only Bobby Jones back in 1920 has a longer streak of top tens at this event. He's seventh on tour in strokes gained tee to green, eighth in strokes gained approach over the last 24 rounds. Here's a big one. The best sand player in this field. The big defense of this golf course is the bunkering around these greens.
Yep.
So Xander Schauffele, really great off the beach. Top 10 in bogey avoidance as well. That's always useful at a U.S. Open. So he's got that game. It's time for him to break through. I think it happens this week.
In fact, Cam, there's another element. That when Gil Hance redid this in 2009, they took out a lot of trees on this course.
Yeah.
And so when you take out trees, what becomes the defense? More bunkering and better position bunkers along the way. I got to ask you about a guy that has a beautiful swing, and that's Colin Morikawa. Does his game fit this course?
I'm going to say no. I think Colin Morikawa could actually miss the cut here this week. His ball striking has not been as good as in years past. I don't know necessarily what's going on right now. Maybe he's in a rut of sorts. But here's the thing. If he's missing greens, he can't lean on his scrambling game because it's one of the worst in terms of the elite players on the PGA Tour. And, of course, he's in that category. But I don't think this is a great setup for him because he's not a great sand player. He's not great with his wedges in general, and his putter can get ice cold. So for Colin Morikawa, I would prefer him at St. Andrews, already an Open champion in his own right. So maybe we look for him there. But this week, I think he actually struggles.
Well, he's a guy that normally plays right to left. And for some reason, and he can't explain it either, in the last month, for some reason, he's fading the ball. And he's like, and he doesn't know why. I'm like, okay, that's
not a great sign.
No, that's not a good sign when you don't know, right? And you're surrounded by a team, Cam. So give me four guys we need to look at. You already said Xander. Who else?
Yeah, keep an eye on Sungjae Im. He's got a really balanced game right now. Number one in this field in scrambling. Number two in bogey avoidance. We've talked about Will Zalatoris on your program before.
Yeah.
Love him at major championships in general. He fits this mold here at the Country Club a lot. So keep an eye on Mr. Zalatoris. John Rahm, when conditions get tough, John Rahm thrives. He's number four on tour in strokes gained tee to green. He's number four in terms of my power rankings as well. And then Tony Finau came runner-up last week at the RBC Canadian Open, and he's got that balanced game right now around the green, tee to green in general, top tens in a couple of U.S. Opens the last 4 years. So Finau, Rahm, Will Zalatoris, Sungjae Im.
All right. Cam Rogers, host of Lock It In, joining us from Plymouth, just a stone's throw away from Brookline. Cam, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Enjoy the week.